And welcome to all of you Zoomers out there, too. We didn't acknowledge you. I do. Whatever time zone you're in, whatever you're doing, however you are, we're glad that you could be with us today, too. I won't give up. No, I won't give in until I reach the end, and then I'll start again. I don't want to leave. I want to try everything. I want to try it even though I could fail. And the title of my talk this morning is The Blessings of COVID. Rather strange topic, huh? Well, it happened. Slightly over a month ago, I felt really, really bad and tested myself for COVID and was positive. This was my first direct experience with this disease. And except for one person, a former fraternity brother in college, I didn't think I even knew anyone who'd had COVID. Anyways, I felt horrible for 2 days. But during that time and ever since, I realized that, as usual, I was being given blessings through the experience. I want to try and share some of this with you today. Blessing. Pam used the word over 20 times in her talk last Sunday. David will be sharing with us for the next 2 Sundays about blessing, so I'm going to leave the details and the etymology and the descriptions to him. In fact, the book, The Gentle Art of Blessing, will be one of our upcoming book studies in 2023. It's a good book. I would encourage you to check it out. So, anyways, rather than preempt what David is going to share, I just went to Google. And Google says a blessing is 3 possibilities: a special favor, mercy, or benefit, a favor or gift bestowed by God and bringing happiness, or invoking God's favor upon a person or situation, as in bless you, bless this situation. Now, my blessings from the COVID experience took several forms. First was the blessing of a deep existential identity for all the folks and their families and their loved ones who had serious COVID episodes. Mine was apparently a mild case. I didn't have to be hospitalized or put on ventilators or have people come in to help me or anything like that. And so I just waited and waited and waited until I was sure I was no longer contagious. That was so I could bake cookies for the Mystic Fair and not infect half of Port Townsend in the process. I do have a few lingering effects. I'm very tired. I have to take a lot of naps each day because I just get worn out by doing stuff. And I got brain fog. So in case I lose my place here, that's what's happening. I just kind of forget. Or it could be because I'm 76, but no, it's the COVID. It's not that. But these are Spirit's ways of reinforcing the lessons from this experience. And I'm grateful for that blessing, the reminders. And as we come into holidays, I'm grateful for the prayers and healing energy that can be sent to the children and the partners and the families and the friends who will miss somebody this year? Second blessing I had, besides being this just existential awareness of others who had gone through the same experience, was the blessing that I hadn't passed my condition on to anybody else. I self-isolated even longer than was recommended. So y'all didn't have coffee for 2 Sundays. You survived, so die. I have great gratitude that I didn't get COVID while I was caregiving for my dear friend Cara as she was recovering from her stroke. She was not vaccinated. She was very vulnerable. And most of what we did during that time of self-isolation was do things in the house. We never had a chance much to go out except to the drugstore, the hospital, the doctor's office, and the grocery store, all of which mandated masks. So it was fairly safe. And gratitude that I didn't pass anything on to my grandchildren who weren't vaccinated. And I was with them the day before the symptoms began to appear. I'm very grateful for that. So I'm grateful I didn't pass it on to anybody, and that's a blessing too. And third, I'm thankfulness for the blessing of you here in Unity Port Townsend. This community, helping to coordinate our TLC care team, it always seems an occasion for deep gratitude when folks take time to bring food or hold someone in prayer or do some little chore that made a big difference. In my case, I have a cat who's having problems as he gets older in finding his litter box. And I was running out of cat litter, and I wasn't going to leave the house. Fortunately, I had someone who was willing to go to the store just to buy me some cat litter. Doesn't seem like a big deal, does it? But it meant a lot. It felt so blessed to feel healing, loving energy when my energy was so focused on just getting better. These have been tangible, real blessings for me and have brought me a sense of peace and a sense of freedom. Last week, Pam talked about Julian of Norwich, who lived in the 14th century during the Black Plague. And she came up with 7 lessons, you may recall from last week, on how to navigate the pandemic and spiritually grow. And number one, the first one being, don't flee the darkness. Stick around for everything that the suffering, chaos, unknowing, and dark night of the soul might teach us. Kind of like that Zootopia song. I don't want to leave. I want to try everything. I want to try it even though I could fail. Peace and freedom. Peace lies not in the external world. It lives in one's own soul. People can travel down many different avenues in pursuit of paths seeking peace. External appetites and passions. But they always seem to come up short of the hope for satisfaction. We may chase peace, inner peace, hither and yon, but it will always be just beyond our grasp because we're searching for it where it's not. To be at one with Spirit as Karen was talking about in her meditation, just to be at one with Spirit is to be at peace. That is the greatest blessing. Whatever else is going on, peace. No fear. Have you ever noticed people who seem to live charmed lives? I think for a great deal of it, it's because they're not living in fear. The moment we fear anything, we open the door for the very thing that we're afraid of to come in and become real. Manifest the darn thing. But to the degree to which we're given grace to realize our oneness with the infinite power of God's presence, always, David was talking about that, we can become truly calm and quiet, blessed with freedom from the little disturbances that before so much annoyed us. It is certain. I am filled with this inner peace to the extent that I can surrender and open myself to Spirit's inflow as it pours through me. And then I realize that I can carry peace and calm with me wherever I go and whatever circumstance I may be in or may encounter. And I find that the main key to this type of freedom is knowing your true identity. Unity, we have a way of summing that up very nicely. You are a spiritual being having an earthly experience for a divine purpose. But be warned, when you begin to use this key awareness, your ego is going to be greatly disturbed. It will wildly attempt to grab your attention and turn you back into your false self. You see, as you raise consciousness and accept your spiritual identity, a spiritual being having an earthly experience for a divine purpose, the ego, with all of its rough edges, is going to be suppressed. You will find overcoming your ego a significant challenge. It's never willing to accept defeat graciously. It's kind of like challenging elections. But through a persistent commitment, you'll learn. The end of the song. I'll keep on making those new mistakes. I'll keep on making them every day. Those new mistakes. It doesn't stop with the blanket forgiveness. It keeps happening. It keeps going on. You can indeed rise to the challenge and surpass it. Now, for many, mistaken identity stems from one's job or career, creating a belief that you are what you do. And moreover, mind and ego don't stop with that. They form even still more identities based on my relationships, my circumstances, opinions, my self-judgments, and others' judgments of me. But none of these are who I am. None of these are my identity. They're either what I've dreamed up by myself or what life has brought to me. many of us, I suspect, have derived our identity of self from everything external and has created an illusion of who we are. You are not made of external anything. You are an eternal being of light, created out of divine love. Any one of your externally derived identities can be changed or even abandoned, left while you're on earth. All of them will be left the moment that you leave this plane of existence, except the love that you are. And this reality will stay with you always. And everything else is merely an experience I'm having. And to be reminded of this powerfully has been for me the greatest blessing of COVID. If someone overcomes cancer or alcohol addiction or whatever, a dysfunctional family, childhood, even then, your identity is not that of a survivor. Believe it or not, calling yourself a survivor is an act of the ego. It gives someone a sense of status by way of another false identity. So for me, and I guess what I most want to pass on to you today is that disease and its outcome is not meant to identify you, but to give you an experience for which only your soul knows the reason. The difference you make in this world is by your presence. And your true identity as a missionary in a foreign field. I've come to realize that. A lot of my life is I'm a missionary in a foreign field. This is a blessing. And it's the greatest blessing of all. When I started writing down some notes and ideas for this talk, it was last Thursday, October 27th. And I happened to be looking at the Daily Word also. And I want to share the reading for that day also. And the topic, the theme was comfort. The comforting love of God eases my burdens. I remember times in my life when I felt hurt or afraid and how I was comforted by the kind words and actions of another. They reminded me that I am loved and valued and assured me that things were going to be okay. Even if conditions seemed bleak, trusting the support and care of a dear one comforted me. It's heartening to know the comforting God. Let me try that again. It is heartening to know the comforting love of God through others. This caring and warmth is not only mine to receive, but also to give. A compassionate act, a charitable word, and an understanding heart may well be exactly what someone else needs. God is the ultimate comfort, the security and shelter for an aching heart and a troubled mind. I comfort others when I open my heart to them and let the healing light of God shine through. And the Bible text associated with this one is from Psalm 119. This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life.